Amen. Thank God for our fathers. Thank God we've got the best example of all in the Father, our Heavenly Father. Amen. I'm going to read the scripture, and I want us to pray for a father today that's dear to all of us, and that's Ray Mason. Ray been a very, very sick man, as you know, in the last week. And I just got a text from Mike asking that we pray for him in a special way today as he's facing some testing. So we want to do that in just a moment. So let's take our Bibles today. I'm preaching on spiritual covering identity. How to identify your spiritual covering. Psalm 91. I'm going to read the whole chapter. So let's all stand. I believe it's worthy of our time to read the Word of God. I thank God for His Word. And let this word minister to you today. We're going to talk about how important it is that we minister to God so that God will minister to us. And so we're going to do that in standing and reading His word. Pay attention to every word. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Mighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thy trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that lieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth in noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thy behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou hast tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thy trample under feet, because He hath set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the reading of the Word of God today. For we know Your Word is life, and it brings life. And I pray today that life would be brought into each of us as we study Your Word. Lord, I thank You for our dear brother, Ray Mason, and what he means to all of us. And we lift him up today as his son has asked us to pray for his father today in a special way as he's facing these tests. I pray, God, that all will be well, that, Father, these tests will show Your hand upon our brother, and that, God, truly, he is being healed even as we pray today in Jesus' name. Thank You, as we've just read the scripture, that we are under Your covering, Your protection, regardless of what we go through, Lord, and You will keep us as Your promise. Keep Brother Ray in Your care is my prayer. Now I pray for Your Holy Spirit's power, that You would anoint me afresh and anew, that You would speak through me today with clarity, with truth and authority, thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So what I thought, I'd make me a parachute. So I made me a parachute. I got me some little army guys. Hold on. Let's see. I think I'm going to call that one, that little guy. Well, let me see. What did I do with those guys? Oh, they all ended up in the parachute. Okay. Well, I was going to illustrate. Hold on a minute. Okay. I had a hard time making a parachute. I just got a Walmart bag. But anyway, so I'm going to, let's see. This is my flamethrower. I'm going to call this guy my flame-throwing father. How about that? Flame-throwing father. He's got a pack on his back, so he's a flamethrower. This is my bazooka mama. I'm going to tell you, anybody comes close to her family, she's got a bazooka. Let's see, this is a pistol-packing kid here, one of the kids. That would be the boy, I guess. He's got the pistol. And, of course, the one who has the radio is the daughter, because she's going to talk on the phone all the time. So anyway, so you got the flame-throwing father, bazooka mama, and then, or that should have been a pistol-packing mama, but anyway, pistol-packing son and a radio dude. Anyway, and so what I'm preaching on is how to establish a spiritual covering. So what I'm going to use the bag for is that's going to be representative of who God is, because I believe God covers us, okay? And God's covering you better than you realize. He really is. The key that I want you to get today, and that is every man here has a role and a responsibility, that he must be under, one of my strings broke. Anyway, they're hanging in there. So they're hanging by one gun. Okay, but this is the family, okay? So, you know, I've got the family tied down here, and I've got God holding them up. He's the cover. I mean, he is the cover, and we're going to talk about how important it is for the father, the man, to be the leader in his home today. And I don't know if this thing's going to work or not, but I'm going to try it. The wind is the Holy Spirit, okay? And so he's going to hold it up. I don't know if I can get this thing up high enough. It may not work, but... well, here, let me try it this way. There you go. It worked halfway anyhow. But the idea there is that the parachute, it says a lot, because you know what? I've talked to some of you guys, Matt Hash and some of you. I've been asking them, why would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? I mean, I've been flying for the last week or so, and I've been thinking, parachute or not, I'm staying on this booger. I'm not jumping out of an airplane. But I thought about it, Matt. If you jump out of an airplane, you got to have faith. Yeah, you got to have faith in something. I guess you better have faith in the parachute. But the parachute represents God, so you put your faith in God, all right? We're going to be talking about that a little bit later. But how important it is that you make sure that you grab hold of the right thing. And I got to tell you my parachute joke, because I know you've heard it. But anyway, the story goes that there was this small plane. It was ill-equipped. It had some engine problems. And the pilot put it on autopilot, went back and told his three passengers. He said, I got bad news and I got worse news. He said, the bad news, this plane is going down. They said, well, what's the worst news? He said, well, the worst news is it's four of us and there's only three parachutes. I'm taking one of these parachutes. I'm a young boy. I'm jumping off this plane. I've got a young family. And you're left to figure it out yourself. And so that pilot jumped off with the right parachute, and he was okay. Well, that left only two parachutes, and there was a priest there. There was a computer expert, and I forgot what the third guy was. He was something. He was a Boy Scout. That's right. Thank y'all. Y'all remember the joke better than I do. But the Boy Scout. So anyway, so the computer expert, he said, you know, I'm so smart. I got this thing figured out. I'm going to jump off this plane. So he jumped off the plane. And then the priest said to the Boy Scout, he said, son, listen, you're a young boy. Your life's in front of you. I'm ready to meet my maker. You jump off the plane with that last parachute. And the Boy Scout said to the priest, chill out, priest, father. Everything's going to be okay. You know that guy who said he was so smart, he was a computer expert? He jumped off with my knapsack. And we've got two parachutes left. You better make sure you grab hold of the right thing, right? So today we're going to be talking about grabbing hold of the right thing. And I'm going to really come down pretty strong on you guys, only for this reason, because I love you. And I want God to use you. Most men do not know their role or their responsibility. I think you will today in establishing a spiritual covering identity. Men are the most untapped resource in the church today. I really believe that. We need man to be man, real man who will stand and say, no matter what happens, I'm not walking out on my wife. No matter what happens, I'm not walking out on my children. No matter what happens, I'm not walking out on my family. By the way, any wimp can walk out. Anybody can quit. A husband is to be the head, and God has given the man the God-ordained responsibility to cover his family. Because I'm here to tell you, friend, that you don't know what is coming your way. You don't know what kind of ill-equipped plane you might end up on along life's way. You want to make sure you got the right parachute, amen? And so it's very important that you understand what it means to be a God-ordained man. As Jesus took the responsibility for for our sin and to protect us from the wrath of a holy God. God's holding us men accountable to stand in the gap for our families. We need soldiers of the cross, brothers who band together for the cause of Christ, not just another church meeting, not just talking the talk, but learning to walk the walk, standing for what is right, for what is noble, for what will bring life and liberty to our homes. We don't need any lily-livered, yellow-belly, wimpy, whiny, complaining, grumbling, sourpuss, stingy, selfish, ego-driven, lazy, male chauvinist, negative excuse of a man. We need some man who will stand up and say, I will be that man. I'll be the one who makes the difference. And God wants you to be that man, not to pass the responsibility off to your wife and say, well, I'll just let the wife take care of the family. No, the bottom line is, when you stand before God, God's going to come to you, sir. He is. Remember, you know, Eve did take of that fruit, but who did God come to? He went to Adam. You know, Abraham was rather foolish to listen to Sarah. Go lay with my handmaiden, you know. But God didn't go to Sarah. God went to Abraham. God holds you accountable whether you like your role or your responsibility or not. And you know, somehow Father's Day has become a second-class holiday. I mean, it's like Mother's Day. You know, more phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other time of the year. But that's not true on Father's Day. And I think a lot of the reason is we don't understand our responsibility and our role. Well, here we're going to start today. Number one, I've already mentioned faith. The Bible says in James 2:17, faith without works is what? It's dead. Maybe that's why we got a lot of dead families today. The family is under attack. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The first thing I see in Psalm 91 that I absolutely love, I see the presence of the Lord. He says in verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place, I'm going to talk about that secret place, of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The covering of coverings is the presence of Almighty God. He is higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He is all time and always on time. Fathers, you've got to get this. You've got to get it. I'll get that phone call later. You've got to get it. The everlasting Father wants to cover you, but you've got to be willing to let Him cover you, all right? And if He's not covering you, then you're in trouble, amen? Because how are you going to cover your family? You see, everything is in direct line of the presence of God. Because without God, you don't have a parachute. Amen. You don't have nothing. What did Jesus say? Without me, you can do nothing. Notice, though, how it just happens to be that all this family down here of soldiers line up under the covering. How can a father be a covering if he don't know the presence of God? Amen. We need the covering of God. We need the presence of God. And without Him, we are sunk. Folks, let me tell you something. You can't cover anyone until you yourself are covered. The psalmist described the special place as this way. He was really pointing to the tabernacle, talking about the holy of holies. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. But most Bible scholars agree that the secret place is the very heart of God, His bosom, where the only begotten Son lies, and into which He takes His own people, where they are set seal and who enjoy intimate communion with Him. The word dwell here in the Hebrew is yasab, and it means to live in, to stay, to rest, to be settled in. We need some man to get settled in, to be in a godly father, a godly husband, to just step up and say, you know what, I'm going to be that man of God. I'm going to be that husband I need to be. I had one of the young fathers in our church with tears in his eyes the other week. He said, pray for me. I want to be a godly husband. I want to be a godly father to my children. Oh, that just blessed my heart. I wonder if there are men here today who will take a stand. The Hebrew word for shadow here is sal, and it means protection. Who's protecting you? Well, you'll notice, and anytime you notice in Scripture where the word Lord is capitalized, that always means Jehovah, Yahweh. In other words, the self-existing one. God doesn't need you to exist. We need Him to exist. Amen? So He's talking about the presence of God. He's also talking, I believe, about the person of God. Look at verse 2. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Three times you'll note the personal pronoun my is used. Not a refuge, not a fortress, not a God, but mine. Jesus made God personal in his person. We can only have a personal relationship with the Holy God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I say God is my God? Because Jesus is my refuge and my fortress. You have to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Are y'all following me? You see where I'm going with this? You've got to, and I'm trying to get you there. I'm going to identify the spiritual covering. But number one, it starts with the covering, God himself. I love the verse where it says that he will cover thee with his feathers, verse 4, and under his wings shall thy trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. We'll talk about that in a minute. But think about it, how that we are covered by the Father. And as you understand, you put your faith in him. Listen, you're not alone. You've got his presence with you. You've got his person with you. You've got the Lord Jesus Christ if you're saved. We're talking about a faith here that really does work. Faith in Jesus works. This is a working faith. We have a God that works. We have a faith that works. And when a man, as a father, has the blood of Jesus covering him, then he can cover his family as the spiritual leader of his home. And then third of all, and I like this word, power. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence he shall cover, it says in verse 4. If notice what he says there. He says, he shall cover. It might hope or think. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thy trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Man, we're not alone. Jesus said, I will not leave you without a comforter. John 14:16, I will ask the Father to give you another helper to be with you. Aren't you glad you got someone to help you? You don't have to do that. I'm going to paint this picture in just a minute of what a spiritual covering is, but I want you to understand, first of all, that you're not in this by yourself. You've got the Heavenly Father. Yes, he's perfect in all of his ways. And if you will align yourself with him, there's the umbrella of who God is. I'll tell you, you put your faith in God, let me tell you something that's going to happen. When you put your faith in God, you will know the presence of God, you will know the person of God, and you'll know the power of God. Let me tell you something. All that we need is in Jesus. He is our sufficiency. The power of God is upon you. But here's the thing about it. Are you listening? Say amen. Amen. You can't know God's power if you don't know God's plan. Amen. Without the plan, forget the power. So what is God's plan? By the way, before I move on from that verse, God's plan is for man to be the spiritual head of his home. Snares, the traps of the enemy are everywhere. There are snares of the flesh, lust, thought patterns, snares of the world, the internet. The devil has spun a web called WWW, World Wide Web, to lure men and women into porn in the chat rooms. They are now affecting our teenagers. Teens have turned into turned texting into sexting. My heart was broken the other Monday night. One of the deacons and I were visiting with a father. He said, I want you to walk with me behind the house. We walked behind the house and he began to describe what was going on in his home, and his heart was broken. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't think it's in your home, you're a fool. It's all out there. It's in the school system. I heard about a teenager at the end of this school year, while the teacher was teaching, the kid, I don't know how the kid did this, was on the computer looking at porn. I don't know how that happens. But I'm telling you something, friend. And it was a girl. Let me tell you something, folks. You and I have got to wake up. We've had our head in the sand too long. And what we've got to understand is something. If we don't stand up as spiritual leaders, as fathers, as husbands, the devil will destroy your home. We've got a battle to fight right at the home front. It's right here now, and we got to deal with it. So let's get our focus. That's the second word, focus. What is the big deal about fathers and men being spiritual coverings? Parents have a great opportunity, like no one else, to model in living color of both attitude and action of those things that they need to communicate with their kids. Our wives and our families need us to protect them, and God will judge us if we don't. Guys, you got to hear it. It's the truth. Anybody that loves you is going to tell you the truth. God will hold you accountable. You are going to be held accountable for your family. You can pass it off in this life if you want to your wife, and that's what a lot of guys have done. They've said, you know what? We'll just let the women do it. Here's a good example. I've been a pastor for 40 years. Do you know if it weren't for the women, you wouldn't have a church? That's the truth. If it weren't for women, there wouldn't be a church. And you know why? Because we got a bunch of lazy, lily-livered, yellow-bellied men who won't stand up for nothing. They'll just give in. They'll say, well, she rules the roost, so I'll just let her rule the roost. God's going to hold you accountable, not her. You got to get your focus. So how do we get our focus? What should be our focus? Well, number one, we need to get focus on the truth. We're in a warfare. Notice verses 5 through 7. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. What is he saying? A father needs to learn how to protect himself, his wife, and his children from the snares of the devil. You might need to have a computer smashing class in your home. You might need to have a magazine burning. And yes, I know the kids don't want to hear this, but you might need to cancel some cell phones. Amen. I'm telling you, if this stuff is going to be used for the enemy, then what you're doing, you're allowing the enemy to come into your home. And you know what? We've been sort of foolish in thinking that, hey, it won't bring any harm. Who is the God of the air? Satan is. Media is a tool Satan knows how to use. Man and fathers, it is past time to take our homes back from the devil. He has snuck in our homes with his video games, game boxes, cell phones, computers, etc., that have taught our children how to be violent, how to kill, how to steal, how to curse, how to lie, how to cheat, how to lust, how to bully, how to fight. Had a man come to my house early yesterday morning to make a repair. He was telling me about a child that him and his wife were trying to help out right here in our community, 7 years old. He said, every other word is a curse word. And every other word is using God's name in vain. He said he cusses like a sailor. He's 7 years old. I said, why? He said, well, his father's checked out on him years ago. The mother's not ever at home. And we're trying to step in. I'm going to tell you something, friend. This is the real world. We don't want to hear the truth. But we need to understand something. There's a war going on out there. And guess what? It's really not going on out there as much as it's going on in our homes. I'll be honest with you. When you cut your television on today, it's almost like cutting the devil on. I mean, really, you can't hardly watch anything Sherry and I talk about, you know, that don't use the Lord's name in vain, that don't use some vulgar words. And you know what? We only allow the basic channels. We got the cheapest package you can get, you know, and still you're going to listen to all the garbage that comes in. By the way, garbage in, garbage out, right? That's what computers are all about, how they're programmed. Well, let me tell you something. I got something on my computer last night that came up and said, you might want to clean out your history because someone is trying to identify who you are. You know what I did? I went over in the history and I cleaned it out. You know, cookies and stuff. I remember I used to work with computers some just as a hobby. And I had a lady call me years ago, many years ago. And she said, Pastor, we don't understand. We're getting this porn popping up on our computer. Can you come and fix it? So I went over and I looked at her computer and I said, well, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. Someone in this house is clicking on it because you've got thousands of cookies. She said, what can you do about it? Well, I said, well, I'm not a computer expert, but I can reformat your hard drive. Have you got the original system software? She said, yeah. I said, well, I'll clean it out for you. I cleaned everything out of that. I enjoyed that for some reason. Just got it all clean for her. But I said, I'm going to tell you, you need to talk to your husband. And that was the problem. And by the way, if you got a husband or wife or child or whatever looking at that stuff, you know, husbands, you may not see, and I've had guys tell me this, well, I'm still faithful to my wife. No, you're not. You're not being faithful to your wife. You're giving your allegiance to another woman. Kids, you know what you're doing? You're opening your life up to the demons of hell. Someone needs to tell it like it is. I'm telling you, this stuff has a reason. And Satan knows what he's doing to try to destroy our homes. I'm going to tell you something. When it's got to stop. I tell you, when fathers and mothers start parenting again and tell the devil and the children that all who oppose them, that their name is still on the mailbox and that they have the God-ordained responsibility to bring their child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we need men who will understand their role to cover and to protect their families as true soldiers of the cross of Jesus Christ. Man, fathers, we have got to go to war to fight for our families and to cover them spiritually. We are in a war in our homes, and we are most definitely at war with our words in our homes. Husbands who feel they need to belittle and talk down to their wives, talking down to our children, telling a kid, I've heard people saying this, my kid will never amount to anything. God help us. You know what you've done? You've opened up the door wide open for the devil to destroy your family. You have. Your words. You don't need the porn. Your words can do it. Amen. Destroying homes. It's funny how you are, sir. Let me get a flame-throwing father here. You let someone try to come into your home, bother your wife, and bother your children. You know what you do? You do more than throw a flame. You'd probably kill the rascal. If he came in trying to hurt your wife and hurt your kids. But yet, have you ever thought about it, that you could be the one throwing the flames with your mouth? Amen. You could be the one hurting these kids. And you know what? Their little daughter's talking on the phone here and pistol-packing kid. You better watch out for Bazooka Mama. You know, she'll shoot back. But here's the thing. I'm lining up these soldiers. Sometimes the father can be the enemy. You won't let nobody else come into your home. But yet you're in your home causing some of the same havoc. God help us. We're in a warfare, and we need to wake up and realize that. I didn't know I was going to be playing soldiers with you this morning. But folks, I believe we got a lot of angry kids out there today. And why are they talking dirty and ugly and angry? Because they are angry. And I'm going to tell you what needs to happen. We just need some godly man to stand up and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You say, well, preacher, you know, I believe religion is something that's so important. It should be left to our children to make the decision whether or not to come to church. In fact, we're just going to be neutral on that subject. You know what neutrality is when it comes to God and a Christ? Yeah. It is. You're anti-Christ in your home. Yeah. You told your kids, well, you know, by the way, when I was growing up, I never had a choice on anything. Amen. I never did. I'll tell you, I remember how much I hated it. I won't say it. I was a kid now, so forgive me. Hated my mom and dad. Oh, I couldn't stand them. I thought they were from the devil. Because on Sunday night, Disney came on. And Disney was my favorite program. I loved Disney. I thought Disney was it. You know what my mom and daddy had the audacity to do? Get up, we're going to church. I hated church. I didn't want to be at church on Sunday night. That's the last place in the world I wanted to live. But you know what? They must have done something right. Amen. You know, I got a sweet, sweet card yesterday from my daughter. And in the card, she was saying, Dad, you know, I've gone through all the educational system. I've got my doctorate. I've learned everything that man's taught me. And I've realized the only thing that really matters is what you taught and what you showed me was God's love. And she said, I'm just going to stand on the Word of God. Amen. I had a spell. I just started boo-hooing when I read that. Because you know what? She got it. She got it. Folks, I'm going to tell you what we got to do in this warfare. Listen to me carefully. We've got to learn to take this junk that the world's giving our kids and turn it around for what is good. And I'm going to give it to you right now. Now, you might not think this is a big deal, but this is a big, big deal. And it starts with you, sir. If you're going to really be a true warrior, a soldier of the cross, then you've got to go where you can get your strength. You've got to go where you can get your power. And I'm fixing to teach you something. I want you to listen. Don't throw this off because of the word. Just get it real good. And the next word, our focus, has got to be worship. He says in verse 8 and 9, only with thy eyes shall thy behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Would Jesus feel at home in your house? Worship starts at home with you. Man, you're the pastor, you're the priest, you're the prophet in your home, according to Scripture. I had far rather see a father or a man in church with his hands lifted high before the Lord than a man with his hands lifted high because the police officer has told him, hold your hands up, you're being arrested. I'd far rather see a man lifting his hand up before the Lord, praising God, that his wife and his children could see where his allegiance is, than to see a man lift his hand up to hit another man. You know, you think about it, worship is something that you and I need to do better. Worship is you giving your heart to God and God giving his heart to you. Something that really spoke to me, the greatest sermon I heard this week was by Steve Gaines, pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church. He's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Here's what he taught. He said this, he said, we've got to learn to minister to God in prayer and in worship so that God can minister to us. And I thought about that a lot. You know what? The more I minister to God, the more I praise him, the more I worship him, the more I thank him. You know what he's going to do? He's going to minister to me. He's going to give me what I need to be the spiritual man that God's called me to be. You know what? Most men don't know the foggiest about what their role in the home is or what their responsibility is because they've not gone to the Father of fathers. They've not given him the worship that he's worthy of. But when you start worshiping him, what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. Notice what this verse says. He says, and you will make God your habitation. That's powerful to me. Which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. In other words, worship is at home with me. Every day. Every day. Are you worshiping God? Hello, are y'all out there this morning? Yep. If this is all you're getting as a Sunday morning worship service, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the devil's got you where he wants you. It's an everyday walk. It's an everyday involvement, praising him, singing to him, thanking him, praying, seeking his face. Man must understand their role. We are to spend quality time ministering to the Lord with prayer and worship. And when we learn our role in ministering to the Lord in prayer and worship, God will then start ministering to you so that you can be the spiritual covering for your family. God the Father is looking for man to worship him. And when the Father starts being worshiped, the Father then and only then will cover your family spiritually. And then the third word I want to give you here is welfare. Notice what he says in verses 10 through 12. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come thy dwelling. I'm gonna keep your home safe. For, listen to this, don't let me lose you. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash thy foot against a stone. What is he meaning here? You're most likely to hit the ball. If you're playing ball, you're most likely to hit the ball if you got your eye on the ball, right? You got to keep your eye on the ball. Friend, if we will understand that we are in a spiritual warfare, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rules of darkness. If we will worship the Lord Jesus Christ and give him the worship he's worthy of, then you can be assured of this one thing. God will take care of you. Let me tell you, you say, well, I wish God would take better care of me. Well, are you taking good care of him? Are you giving him the worship he's worthy of? Hello? Are you recognizing that are you mad at the world and mad at everybody because things are not the way they're supposed to be? You don't battle with flesh and blood. Your wife is not your problem. Your husband's not your problem. Your children's not your problem. The devil's your problem. And we're in a spiritual warfare, and our wives and our children get caught in the crossfire. And God help us, church, that we will understand that God is saying right here, right here, right here, he's saying, I will bear you up in my hands. I'll send my angels to look after you. Hello? Y'all believe in angels? Amen. I'll tell you something about angels real quick. They're not interested in you. No. I know you think they are. They only really have one. You need to understand their role and their responsibility. Their role and responsibility is to God. They are worshiping God 24/7. I mean, all the time, timeless. They're saying, holy, holy, holy. They're praising him. They're worshiping him all the time. You know, you want some angels to guard over your family when you start worshiping God. Are y'all following me this morning? When you start worshiping God, the angels say, well, I want to get in on that now. You're doing what I'm doing. I've been doing that for eternity. Now, there's a daddy who says, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to have us some church time in our house.
Y'all have any church time in your house? Devotional time, prayer time? We're going to join together and not just because Daddy said so. No, that's not the reason. Because I believe with all my heart, if you'll understand, that God has called you. There is more than just the fact that you said so. It's a matter of fact that you are lining yourself up with God when you do this. And when you line yourself up with what God is, you're lining up with His plan. He's going to give you His power, and He's going to take care of your family. Are y'all following me today? You see, He said, I will. He said, For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear him up in, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. What it means, you know what? I can stumble. I can stumble in this life. I can go through life stumbling, just can't make it. Lord, I wish I'd get this monkey off my back. I just can't make it. But the angel somehow just picks you right up and just takes you off. You understand? So you won't be stumbling. I believe that the angels of God are looking after you, sir and ma'am and children, better than you think so. God's looking after you. He has your welfare in concern more than you do. He is your provider. And I got to finish this thing. But here's, I think, the best part. The last part of this is our family. You say, well, you said our faith in God. Yeah, you got to have faith in God. You got to understand your focus. You're in a warfare. You need to worship. You need to understand God's got your interest in His heart, your welfare. But here's the thing, the family. What about the family? Look at verse 14. He says, because He has set His love upon me. You know one thing I've learned? My daughter today, I read that card again before I left. Probably read it every day this week. She said, Dad, the love I felt in our home. You know, we try so hard to give our kids the best we can. But you can't buy love. Are y'all listening to me? This pastor, his son just got his permit, wanted permission to drive Daddy's car. So he goes in to his dad's study and he says, Dad, I want you to pray about this. He said, would you begin to let me drive the car? He said, well, son, I'll consider that. He said, I want you to do three things. He said, number one, I want you to get your grades up. They're a little down at school. Would you get your grades up? He says, Dad, I can work on that. I believe I can do that. Yeah. He said, son, I know you read your Bible once in a while, but I want you to start reading it every day. Will you start reading your Bible every day? He said, I believe I can do that. He said, one last thing, son. He said, you hadn't had a haircut in a long time. I want you to get a haircut and look like a man. So that's just the way he talked to him. So anyway. So about a month passed, the son came back, and he prayed about it and thought about it, and he said, Dad, you know, how am I doing? He said, well, son, you've got your grades up. I'm very proud of you. You got your grades up. You're doing good in school. He said, I've noticed you've been reading your Bible more, and I'm very proud of you. He said, but son, why ain't you got a haircut? He said, well, Dad, I've prayed about that too, and I thought about it, and I read in the Bible where it said that Moses had long hair and Noah had long hair, and do you know that Jesus even had long hair? He said, yes, son, I do know all those had long hair. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. They walked everywhere they went. And it's very important that we give our kids the right thing. And you know what? Giving them a car and giving them all this stuff has spoiled them. Our kids are spoiled to death. Notice I said our kids. Mine too. You know, I got two grandchildren now. It just seems like the thing to do is to spoil them. But the best thing, look up here, and I'm taking your time for this reason. The best gift you could give your child is for Daddy to love Mommy and for Mommy to love Daddy. Best gift you could give your children. And guess what? It never stops. Never stops. Our kids are all grown up now. You know what they still want? They want love. Greatest gift you could give. You say, well, how do you see that, preacher? Well, that's being ahead to stand. You say, how is that? Because I believe the way you lead is in love. Because He has set His love upon you, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. God has made the man the head of the home, and he must lead by standing. God holds the man responsible for his family. Man today hold their wives responsible, but that is not God's plan. Therefore, we do not have God's power. The man who stands commands and leads by love. He knows the name of God, is truly a man of God. And the way to stand is down on your knees. And that's the next thing, a heart to sacrifice. And I really want to get into this. A heart to sacrifice. He shall call upon me in verse 15, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Well, preacher, where's the spiritual covering here? I'm giving it to you right now. I'm showing you that this is the way God designed you as a man, that you are to be the spiritual leader in your home. You need to have enough backbone. You need to understand that the way you stand is on your knees. He's talking about prayer here. Sacrifice of time spent on your knees in prayer will qualify you to be the spiritual covering for your family. You want to learn what a spiritual covering is? Well, then pray for your wife and your children every single day. I can promise you, Sherry and I, we pray for each other every day. It takes us about an hour every day. We pray for each other. We pray for all of our children. We pray for every single deacon and his wife in our church by name. You know what that does? It puts a spiritual covering over them. Yeah, you see, notice what he said there. I moved a little fast, but verse 4, he says, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know what the shield is? The shield is prayer. Yes, sir. You are shielding your family. Let me tell you something. When you don't pray, you're allowing the devil to come into your home. Family prays together, what, church? Yeah, prayer works. Go to work, man. It takes some effort. It takes some discipline. You got to be intentional, but spend time with God in prayer, sacrificing that time with your family. The family that prays together stays together. Sacrifice of treasure, working hard to provide for your family. Yeah, you knew I was going to talk about this. You know, you guys, whether you realize it or not, God holds you to be responsible as the breadwinner. You say, well, my wife has a good job, and Paul Jones used to tell me, he'd say, you know, I'd like a wife that if she'd make the living, I'd make the living worthwhile. You know, well, that's well and good, but the fact is, there again, God holds the man accountable. The family that prays together, but also it takes the time to do that. It takes the time to be able to provide for a family. Now, here's a verse that'll get you. It got me, so it's got to get you. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever. Yes, that means to be wise in your spending. We need men who act their wages. I won't say it again. Y'all looked at me sort of with a blank face. We need men who act their wages. Yes, I'm going to talk about it now, how you spend your money. Not spending it for man toys or even children's toys, but being a good manager of all that God trusts you with. You know what man toys are? Y'all are looking at me like you, I'll be honest with you, I feel so much guilt in this room right now. I mean, where, you know, a lot of guys that go out here and they'll buy their man toys, and yeah, we'll spend a lot of money on toys for the kids, but don't you rob your family. And I see this happening a lot of times. I do. I see people who neglect their responsibility. I'm amazed at the number of people who say, hey, I need financial help. No, what you need is financial management, really. You say, well, I have an income problem. No, you have an outcome problem, right? You're spending more than you got coming in. Common sense says, as the head of your house, you need to have a heart to sacrifice. You might have to do without some stuff so you can have the kind of family God wants you to have. Now, I'm going to get worse now, probably create some enemies. But don't do this. Don't steal from God. How foolish it is to steal. Let me tell you why. And by the way, if you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. You may not recognize that, but you are. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Here's my question for you. If he owns it all, don't he control it all? Amen. And can he take it all? Yes. Why? Because it is all his. It's not ours. And when you learn the fact that you cover your family financially, tithing protects and covers your family financially. Following God's plan, you will have God's power over your finances. We are stewards and managers of God's money. We don't have we look at it this way. We think, well, it's mine. No, it is not. There's nothing. By the way, you are not even your own. You've been bought with a price. Somehow we got this idea, and boy, have we put God in a box. Well, I'm just going to take care of this little bit I've got right here. And yet God wants to open up the wonders of heaven and pour you out a blessing more than you're able to spare. So you're going to think, well, I'm going to just keep the whole 100%. I'm going to go on vacation and do things for my family. Let me tell you something. If you take your vacation on God's money, you won't have much of a vacation. And you won't have any left over. You want a good vacation, then follow God's plan. And you'll have God's blessing. That's the truth. And by the way, you know what? I've told my kids this. I have. I've told them this. I'm like Noah. I told my kids, I said, you learn tithing whether the church learns it or not. I told them that. You learn it because you're my family. And I want to cover you financially. And guess what? Both of them are well financially. You know why? They learned early to give back to God. It was strange. Sherry and I, this was some few years back, my son wanted us to go to church with him down in Greenville. And I've never been in a church like that in my life. I thought Sherry was going to have a heart attack. We go in, and my son swiped his card. I said, what was that? He said, I just tithed, Daddy. I said, whoa, ain't never tithed like that before. We go in, and the music, wow. It was wide open. It was so loud. Sherry said something. I didn't hear a word she said. It was smoking in the church. It was there. It was wide open. But the preaching was great. I mean, the preacher preached the word, didn't he? But I felt so sorry for Sherry. Her hair, you know, I thought, man, you're going to lose it here. And it's funny now how this has happened. My son now, they've had our grandbaby recently, and they moved to a church because they didn't want to disturb the baby. I got to thinking about that a bit. You know what? I don't think you should ever go anywhere that your children can't go. You shouldn't go to a theater that your child can't sit there and watch that movie. You should never plug something in your TV at home that you have to tell the children to go to another room. Amen? Folks, I'm telling you something. How are we going? You know what these kids are going to, this is what they're going to learn, what they see, right? It's easier caught than taught. You want your kids to really, I'm going to tell you something. And just like my son, you know, it's funny. They've changed churches because they've got a baby and they don't want to disturb the baby. That tells me something. I don't know. There's something about that. You make sacrifices, don't you, for your family. A heart to sacrifice. Last and I'm done, hands to serve. With long life will I satisfy him, verse 16, and show him my salvation. It was a servant's heart that redeemed all of mankind, and the servant's heart will deliver the family. Hands to serve, hearts to sacrifice. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. God blesses the man that serves his family. The only commandment with promise is found in Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth thee. You know, some of you are here today. You're sitting with your father today to honor him. God's going to bless you for that. God's going to bless you when you honor and respect your earthly father. Listen, I'm almost done. When you learn to honor and respect your earthly father, you'll learn to honor and respect your heavenly father. You see, there's a chain of command. God is the covering. Your dad, he is the lineup under God's covering. And because he's lined up under God's covering, he's got God's shadow, God's feathers all over him. And you better follow his leadership. By the way, you need to be in church with him every Sunday. Amen, preacher. Preach it like it is. Your days will be long upon the land which the Lord has given you. So here's the wrap up. I don't usually do it this way, but I wrote down a wrap-up because I want you to get the spiritual covering identity. Number one, faith. Your first role is to make sure that you're covered by the Father of all fathers. Can you honestly say, as in verse 2, he is my God, he is my Father? Can you honestly cry, as Paul said in Romans, Abba, Father, in such a relationship to call a holy God, the holy God of the universe, Daddy? So what Paul said, Abba means daddy. A man can be a father, not every father is a daddy. Are y'all listening to me? Abba means daddy. That's your faith. Your focus, the second role, is to make sure you're ministering to the Lord in prayer and worship. You cannot minister a spiritual covering for your family if you lose focus of the warfare and the worship and the welfare of the spiritual battle you're in. So understand this. You lead your family in worship. You're the prophet, the priest in your home. God holds you. You know, God holds me. You know, I feel an awesome responsibility to communicate the truth of God's word here. That's on you as a daddy as well in your home. Yeah. You say, well, our kids have grown up. Our kids grown up. Sherry and I have church. We worship every day. We do. We spend time. We minister to the Lord every day. We read three devotions every day. I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to set the example for you. We do it. I want you to do it. Not because we're doing it, because I know what it will do. You worship God. You follow his plan. His power will fall in your home. That's the word of God. And then family. His third role is to understand that God holds you responsible, your family. Man today hold their wives responsible. That's not God's plan. Therefore, we do not have God's power. God's plan is for you to be the spiritual head. That is where you stand. Your role is to cover your family by making sacrifices. That means your family is protected financially. Serving God and serving your family will receive the blessing and coverings of God. That's what God has given me. I've been gone all week, but then all during the week, it's like the Lord just would speak to my heart, and I'd write something down on a bulletin that I had, and I'd write this down. And I said, Lord, I've never taught this in my life. I've never taught this. I'm ashamed. I've been pastoring this long, and I've never taught this. But the most untapped resource in our churches are our men. We're going to do a video right now, and then Sherry's going to lead us in an invitational. But I want you to, and don't let the music, you know, music don't bother me because I'm so tuned into the words. I want you to be tuned into the words. Sherry, would you come on to the piano? I want you all to stand. And I'm going to ask you to take a stand today as men. We need God. Without him, you can't make it. You want to be a godly husband? Find your place at this altar today. Start today ministering to the Lord. If you don't get nothing else, get there. Learn to minister to God in worship and prayer. Learn to minister to God, and God will minister to you. You need to be the minister in your home, right? You need to be the prophet, the priest for your husband, for your wife, your children. It starts with you. Humble yourself. That's why we gave out that little gift today. Walk humbly before your God. Would you humble yourself? You don't know Jesus today? Would you like to come under his covering? Let me tell you something. His blood covers and washes all sins away. Now, here's the prayer of a dear woman. I don't know who wrote this song, but it's a powerful video. And I want you to watch this and let God speak to your heart. Some of you wives might want to come here and pray for your husband today. Let's just make this a time of invitation. Would you come as the video starts?